Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. It's time once again to remind everyone of the biblical command found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Because the criticism of our president is getting to the point of blasphemous disrespect for the man that God has put into the place of power. Romans chapter 13, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And it is no small thing to disrespect the authority that God establishes. For the verse goes on to say that those who resist the authority have opposed the ordinances of God. And those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So when we hear of all this vitriol against the president, we should fear the judgment that will fall upon these critics. The early church father, Irenaeus, tells the story of the apostle John running out of a building when he discovered that the false teacher, Cerinthius, was inside. The apostle John wanted to put distance between himself and the wrath of God that would fall upon this man. Now, we don't know whether that story is true or not, but it reminds us to be very cognizant of the wrath of God upon certain individuals for certain behavior. Robert De Niro at the Tony Awards began his presentation by saying, F Trump, and he gets a standing ovation. This just shows how far our culture has departed from any remnant of biblical truth. The fear of God is gone. It used to be that Americans would give respect to public officials because there was this general attitude that to not do so was wrong. Most people didn't know where that attitude came from. It was just an unspoken rule. But it came from previous generations being raised on the Bible. And 100 years ago, everyone knew Romans chapter 13 and knew the admonition in 1 Peter chapter 2, 17. Honor the king. But the first generation without God loses the reasons but keeps the morals. The next generation loses both, the reason and the morals. And that's where we are today. An ungodly generation that curses their God and their king has arisen, and the wrath of God is forthcoming. Now, lest someone think that this is partisanship on my part. Back in 2010, one of my first radio programs was Honor the King, in regard to some hateful statements that were being made against President Obama. At that time, there were these bumper stickers that read, Pray for President Obama. Psalm 109:8. Let his days be few and let another take his office. In other words, pray for judgment upon him. And if you go online and Google Obama bumper stickers, it will remind you of the nastiness some people had toward President Obama. And I reminded the Christian community back then that this kind of rhetoric has no place in Christianity. When Daniel spoke to the pagan king Darius, Daniel didn't say, let your days be few. He said, O king, live forever. Now, did Daniel really mean this, or was he just saying this to be polite? Well, in that Daniel was a prophet of God, what he says was not a lie, but an example to God's people. And our desire is for all men to literally live forever, to be saved. That's why Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're to pray for kings and all who are in authority. For God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And this goes for presidents on the political left like Barack Obama and presidents on the political right like Donald Trump. They both deserve our respect and our help. And we're to win them by our obedience and respect. So let me begin with an overview of what's going on, and then we'll look at some biblical doctrine. If you keep up with the news, you know of all of the vile statements that have been made against the president from the Hollywood crowd. The media will do the same thing, but will couch it in terms of political commentary, saying that Donald Trump is like Hitler, or he's a fascist, or he's acting like a dictator, or that President Trump works for Vladimir Putin. After Trump's meeting in Helsinki with Putin, MSNBC said about the meeting, "It's just as serious as the Cuban Missile Crisis in terms of an attack or the 9/11 attack. Trump's performance will live in infamy as much as the Pearl Harbor attack or the 1938 German Night of Broken Glass when the German people attacked the Jews." The former CIA director John Brennan tweeted that Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. But nothing coming out of that conference was anything like this. This was a complete mischaracterization out of animus toward the president. It wasn't right to mischaracterize President Obama's foreign policy meetings, and it's not right to mischaracterize Trump's meetings. The biblical injunctions to honor the king is not just a prohibition against cursing the king. Misreporting and fake news falls into the category of not honoring the president. For the media to push the unsubstantiated story that Trump colluded with the Russian government to cheat on the election, the media doing this in order to take him down, is a rebellion against authority. Lying against the president, even if you believe it's true, given your worldview, given your suspicions, is still a crime against God. It's like 1 Kings 21, where Jezebel makes up an accusation against Naboth so that he'd be taken off the scene. And Daniel chapter 6, where the government officials make up an accusation against Daniel to get him thrown out of power. Or Esther chapter 3, where Haman makes a pretext to get rid of Mordecai. And look at how the Sanhedrin made up accusations to get Jesus on the cross. And notice, by the way, it didn't go well for all of those accusers. Because, as it says in Romans chapter 13, those who oppose the magistrates that God ordains will receive condemnation upon themselves. In the words of King David, when his men urged him to take the life of Saul, David said, "Who can lift his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" The Bible there is not referring to feelings of guilt, but culpability before God. And remember, Saul was no saint. Yet still, David would not attack him in word or in deed. And David also said later on in 2 Samuel 1:14, "How is it that you're not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" So we can ask the same question today. How is it that these critics of the president are not afraid to attack the Lord's anointed? Now, are the attacks on President Trump worse than the attacks on President Obama? Well, in many ways, they are the same. There are worthless, rebellious despisers of authority on the right and the left. The only difference now is that the media, Hollywood, academia, are dishonoring the president, the social leaders. I mean, nobody was standing up at the Tony Awards saying F Obama and getting a standing ovation. There are a number of video collages out there comparing the difference in the media response to President Obama and then to President Trump when they were doing the exact same thing. And the media fawned all over Obama, making excuses for all of his gaffes, but everything Trump does is being criticized. The joke is that if President Trump walked on the water, CNN would report that President Trump doesn't know how to swim. Recently, the White House banned Caitlin Collins, a White House correspondent for CNN, from attending a press conference because she interrupted the president. Sarah Sanders said at the conclusion of the press event in the Oval Office, she shouted questions and refused to leave despite repeatedly being asked to do so. Subsequently, our staff informed her that she was not welcome to participate in the next event, but made it clear that any other journalist from her network could attend. And the media was all upset with this, coming to the defense of Collins, saying President Trump is un-American, he's persecuting the press. But then the political right dug up a video of a press conference where Obama was interrupted by a reporter. And when Obama asked this reporter to leave, the media pool broke out into applause. The double standard there was obvious. So we have to ask ourselves, why is there such great criticism and disrespect toward Donald Trump? Is it really based upon the moral behavior of the president? I mean, even if the president is morally wrong, disrespect and lies are still an unbiblical response. But we certainly could understand better the suspicion than the outrage. Is this hatred because Donald Trump is personally an immoral man? His affair with Stormy Daniels, the recent revelations about the Playboy model, Karen McDougal. Well, it can't be this because the media and Hollywood are all about sexual deviance. They're all in on the sexual revolution. They all practice this in their personal lives. Now, I think we could say that the media tries to use Trump's immorality to drive a wedge between him and his evangelical base, but that's not the real reason for the criticism of the president. And we all know that the media has covered up and discounted the immorality of presidents and politicians that were on the left. Well, then maybe it's hatred because of Trump's stand against illegal immigration. Well, go online and you can find from 2009 to 2016, President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and many other Democrats all saying that we need to stop illegal immigrants at the border. President Obama, in his 2013 State of the Union address, said real reforms mean strong border security, and we can build on the progress my administration has already made, putting more boots on the southern border than at any time in our history, and reducing illegal crossings to their lowest level in 40 years. Real reform means a responsible pathway to earn citizenship, a path that includes passing a background check, paying taxes and a meaningful penalty, learning English, and going to the back of the line behind the folks trying to come here legally. President Obama actually said that just 5 years ago. And did the media back then cry out that President Obama was being racist against Mexicans? No. Did the politicians back then respond with sanctuary cities? No. It's not as if in just 5 years the American people have fallen in love with illegals. So the media has changed their narrative. So it's really not the immigration issue. Well, maybe then it's President Trump's ego, his bravado. But it can't be that either, because look at all of the egotism that is tolerated in Democratic candidates. And when it comes from Democrats, it's considered being tough, being humorous, being confident. The real reason for this hatred of the president is his identification with conservatives, with Republican ideals, pro-life, small government, nationalism. And there is some tribalism involved. The other party simply wants to take down the president because Republicans are getting all of the leadership positions in Washington. And it's our team versus their team. It's tribalism, but it's also ideological. The left really does hate the ideology of the right, and they want to be empowered to promote their ideology. And the left was supposed to win the presidency. And the Democrats were supposed to hold on to the presidency for the next 100 years. And so to take back government, they want to make life miserable for Donald Trump. They want to reduce his popularity numbers. So they formed a resistance against Donald Trump. And anyone who is not criticizing Trump constantly is not being faithful to the resistance movement. It's like Maxine Waters just said at the First AME Church in Los Angeles, that God has sent her on a mission against Trump. So this all is just rebellion against authority based on a hatred for conservative policy and a desire for personal power. I mean, this is 2 Samuel 15. Absalom, rising early and standing at the gate, telling everyone that the king is doing you wrong so he could get the throne. This is Judges chapter 9. Abimelech criticizing his brothers in order to become king. You know, it's a lot like marriage. When you hate your spouse, when you want to get rid of your spouse, you hate everything he or she does. You even despise that gurgling sound he makes when he brushes his teeth. But when you love your spouse, you think it's cute. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus, they hated everything about him. And why did they hate Jesus? Because he rebuked their sin and hence threatened their power with the people. And this is why the critics of the president will not obey 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all people, honor the king. Because they cannot bring themselves to submit to authority. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, these are people who despise authority, daring, self-willed. Now, conversely, let's talk about why evangelicals honor the president. It's because we have in our DNA 1 Peter 2:17. We must submit to the powers that be. We must support them as much as possible. We must give them counsel, and we must pray for them. Despising them, lying about them, undermining them is not an option. Now, evangelical support for the president has been mischaracterized by the media as being some sort of hypocrisy or moral failure in evangelicalism. Don't you hate it when the media makes up their own reasons why evangelicals support Donald Trump? It's kind of like when the Pharisees had to come up with an explanation for why people were following Jesus. They said it was because the people didn't know the law. John 7:49, it's because the people were ignorant. Now, that's not to say Donald Trump is anything like Jesus, but it's simply an example of how people come up with false reasons why others support their enemies. All the evangelicals I know support Donald Trump out of respect for the office. Nobody appreciates his personal immorality, but we do appreciate the fact that he's open to listening to the Christians, to those who actually respect him. And so Donald Trump has appointed many Christians in his administration. The Secretary of State, the head of the EPA, our ambassador to the UN, the head of HUD, the head of the Department of Education, and many others. Even his vice president is a Christian. And Donald Trump is so much like King Nebuchadnezzar, that ungodly pagan who surrounded himself with Daniel and his three friends, Nebuchadnezzar who was eventually converted. President Obama, on the other hand, was a leftist ideologue. He surrounded himself with well-known leftists. Christians need not apply. And the irony is that the left, if they would have treated Trump with respect, Trump probably would have leaned more toward the left. But in the providence of God, their hatred of him has alienated them from his administration. You know, as evangelicals, we really don't understand the presidency of Donald Trump. It's certainly not the script that I would have written for this world. I really wanted to see a solid Christian get into office so that if there was any criticism or vitriol, it could not be hidden under the guise of the president's demeanor or his personal morals. The media would have to attack the morality of the policies themselves. But with Donald Trump, the waters get all muddied. Critics can hide their liberal agenda behind attacks on the president's morals. by attacking the misspellings of his tweets, by attacking the tone of his tweets. Why God has set this all up is beyond me. But I know this, God knows what he's doing. He puts the Nebuchadnezzars of this world on the throne for a reason. Psalm 75. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all of the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. In short, we have to accept the cup of authority that God puts over us. Now, it looks like I'm running out of time. I've yet to discuss the numerous passages where the Bible speaks of this issue of respecting and honoring magistrates. I'm going to have to save most of that for the YouTube. But in short, the Christian is to respond to the government on three levels. First, in nonviolence. We are not to take up arms against the state. John 18:36. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting." Then the Bible takes it to a second level. Not only are we to be nonviolent, we are to obey the state. Romans 13:6, render to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes is due, custom to whom custom. Remember, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him. Now, you'll hear the argument that we don't need to obey government because it's become corrupt. But when Paul and Peter wrote about obeying government in the New Testament, the evil Roman Emperor Nero was on the throne. But Peter and Paul did not use this as an excuse to disobey the state. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. You must obey the state as long as it doesn't violate your duty to God. But there is still a third level. Honor the magistrates. As Paul writes in Romans 13:6, in regard to the state, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. And this is where we all need to examine our hearts. Because there are many Christians who would never do violence against the state and would never disobey the laws of the land. But they're not very good at honoring government officials they do not like. And not only is that disobedience to the Lord, but you will personally pay a price for dishonoring authority. Those who resist will receive condemnation upon themselves. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. This is program number 355. And this is exactly what God calls his ministers in the church to teach. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. And today's program is a reminder of just that. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for an extended version of the radio program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to do the right thing, but also to do it with the right attitude, to truly care for and honor those you have put into power to accomplish your will on earth, for your glory and for our good. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.